Take our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2, we probably had the most familiar passage in dealing with the birth of Christ. And this morning when we look at this passage of Scripture, we're going to be looking at the message, the Christmas message God delivered to the world. The Christmas message that God delivered to the world. We've heard many messages about Christmas over the years. If you go to church every the weeks leading up to Christmas and usually the Sunday before Christmas, you'll hear a story or a sermon that goes along with the Christmas story. This year alone, I've preached multiple times leading up to the events surrounding up to Christ's birth, and also talking about the need to keep Christ first in Christmas. And I like to keep it kind of simple this morning as we just go back and look at the message that was delivered by the angels to the shepherds. And he said, this is the message God wanted to deliver. Well, yes, God delivered the message through angels throughout the Bible time. We see many times where God used angels to deliver a message, and this is one of those times. Now, some people would say, well, you can entitle this to be the first Christmas message. Well, that has a little bit of truth to it, but the Christmas theme or the Christmas story about Christ coming through, Christ coming to earth, you can trace that all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had sinned. God had promised them a Savior. And even before that, the Bible talks about the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. See, God knew everything that was happening, and He orchestrated and made this happen on this day, at this moment in time, in this area of the country. And here, the message we're going to look at is in Luke chapter number 2. We're going to look at verses 8 through 14. Luke chapter number 2, verses 8 through 14, the Word of God says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." As we look back at this first delivered message, this is what God wanted the world to know that day about Christ's birth. Before going farther, let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the service, the message. Lord, we're thankful for today. Lord, thankful we have a topic here that we can be so excited about. And Lord, something that needs to be spoken over and over and over. Lord, your willingness to come to this world, take on the form of a man, to be able to die for the sins of mankind and to rise again. Lord, giving us a way of salvation. Lord, I pray that each person here today know you as a personal Savior. But Lord, I also pray that we keep you first and Lord, be excited about praising you and worshiping you this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know most of you haven't been to Bible college. I know a few of you have. And most of you don't preach a lot of messages, but some of you have preached messages before in nursing homes and in Sunday school classes. One of the first things they tell you to do is to make sure you have a good introduction. It's a starting off point. It's the idea to grab the attention, because if you can't grab people's attention at the beginning, they're going to spend the rest of the time counting cracks in the wall or cracks in the ceiling, counting how many hymn books they're missing or wondering about everything else but the message itself. Now, I got to tell you, I've heard some really great introductions. I've heard people tell jokes. I've heard people use illustrations. I heard people use object lessons. But this had to be the greatest introduction ever. And look what it says in verse number 9. It says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Now, these shepherds got to see the angel of the Lord comes, and it kind of gives this idea about them, round about them, and kind of like he's probably hovering over them. And if they want to grab somebody's attention, I'm sure that they got these shepherds' attention. The Bible says that they were sore afraid. They were greatly afraid. They were scared out of their wits. They were seized with great fear. And they must have been terrified of that moment in time, because even the angel said, fear not. He had a message, a good message. But I tell you, that was an amazing beginning to a message. I bet you those shepherds were going to listen to every single word that was said. And after the message, you also hear the message other times in places where you're supposed to perk their interest. But you can imagine being one of those shepherds. And we mentioned this during our banquet. But to have this angel of the Lord come upon you and just shown there, and you were just mesmerized, terrified by the sight, and to get to hear this message. And he says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, this is the message they've been waiting for. They've been looking for this Messiah for thousands of years. This has been passed down in the Jewish history over and over and over, that the Messiah was coming. The Messiah was coming, and they were under Roman bondage at this time. But the sermon, this beginning of the message, doesn't start there. Look what happens in verse number 13. If they were sore afraid of just the picture of one angel, and I'm sure we would have been, but look, the Bible says that suddenly there was with the angel, the one angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts. Now this word host comes from the Greek word that means army. So if you can picture with me, the shepherds see this one angel and they're mesmerized, and then you see the whole sky filled from the farthest to the left to the farthest to the right and farther back. You see that there is a group of angels just glorifying God and praising God. Man, what a beginning of a sermon. I'm sure if you heard that beginning of that sermon, you would listen the whole entire time and you would never forget the sermon that you heard that day. And I'm hoping, obviously, you don't forget the things we heard today, but the point number one, it was a message of praise. It was a message of praise. Now, we've heard so many different sermons about Christmas, and we've lived through so many different Christmases, we have learned not to get excited about the reason for Christmas. As Christians, many times we get worked up in the packaging more than the person, and it's all about the person, Jesus Christ. It's all about the fact that God was willing to take the form of a man, to be willing to come to this world, to be born as a babe, to live a sinless, perfect life for those 33 and maybe a half years, and to die on the cross for our sins. The angels are praising God because of his incarnation that day. The praise of the angels are directed to God and God alone. Now, don't get me wrong. It's okay to recognize and honor people. The Bible says, honor them to whom honor is due. But all the people that we praise and all the people we lift up, they're imperfect people. All people have sin problems. All people have difficulties. But the angels understood, and the angels praise God because he was perfect. The angels are praising God because of the incarnation this time, though. They've praised him for thousands of years, maybe for most of eternity. We don't know when the angels were created. We live in a limited knowledge of the beginning to the end, because God has no beginning, God has no end. All the angels were created beings, but they had been praising him for thousands of years. But today was different. They're praising because they saw their God leave his throne in heaven to come and to be born as a baby. Can you imagine what was going through the angel's mind at this time? I mean, can you imagine the thought process that was there? The glory that God had all their lives, all they were programmed to do was to worship him and to praise him. You see some of the scenes in the Bible when the veil is pulled back and you see the angels just praising God in Revelation. And you see angels praising God at different other places in the Bible. And it's mesmerizing thinking about why these angels would just sit and praise God because he's worthy. But it's changed now. See, even creation praises him. Think about what the Bible says. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You think about the dew that drops off the plant, the sparkles, it praises his glory. You think about the wildflowers, beauty and fragrance, praises the glory of God. You think about the birds that fly and fill up the forest, their singing is done in a tribute to God and praising him. You think about deer as they run across the ground. Everything of creation cries and screams out, even the stars of the skies, about the glory of the Lord. And the angels here, they are praising him for a different reason. This is different. Can you imagine what the angels must have thought when they saw their God becoming a man? There is much glory in the incarnation than in the creation. At this time, we see God, who made the world out of nothing, inspires our appreciation because he is creator of all. But the God that would come should inspire us and amaze us, and we should just take a step back and look in awe. If we will take time to look at creation, we can be amazed by it. But if we can take a step back and look at the fact that the God who created all things came to this world to die for us, it should amaze us, and we should be living in an appreciation for it. If creation shows competence, the incarnation shows compassion. If creation demonstrates his power, the incarnation demonstrates his pity. To reflect even for a few minutes on the incarnation of Christ and his sacrifice in coming to earth and then dying for our sin is incredible. This is what Christmas is all about. This is not about Santa. This is not about presents. This is not about decorations. These are not about different ways we celebrate it. This is standing back in awe of seeing the creator of the universe. I mean, the angels thought it worthy to send one person to announce this to the shepherds. I know God sent them, but God thought it worthy enough to fill up the whole sky, praising and glorifying God at Christmas time. But you think about it, to think that he actually came to this world to die for us, I mean, that's huge. But then to think that the gift, to think that his death and the payment for salvation is a free gift, that's what Paul is talking about when it says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. It's just amazing. There is really nothing that can describe or do justice to the fact that God was willing to do all of this, leave all the glories of heaven. This is a precious, precious gift that God is giving to us. His Son coming, God Himself becoming a man for us, the one who created the whole universe, becoming a man, dying for our sins, and then saying, here, this is the gift of salvation. All you have to do is receive it. See, this is a message of praise. And this passage of Scripture says in verse number 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This is a message of praise. The angels knew it was a time to praise. The shepherds, when they came, they knew it was a time to praise. The wise men who traveled all that way and all that time knew it was a time and a place of praise. All of it was about worshiping God. And this is where we need to focus our Christmas at. If we would just take a few minutes to realize and see the amazement that God came and died for us, and that he is offering us a free gift, it changes our perspective on everything else. You know, the Bible says I know we've talked about it being a message of peace already, but if we really want to glorify God with our lives, that's when we're going to have peace on earth. Now, I know the earth is not full of peace. The earth is full of turmoil. This is a picture of the coming millennial kingdom, I believe. But the Bible says we as believers can have peace on this earth. How do we have peace on this earth? If we live our lives to glorify God, we'll have peace inside. We won't be worried about what anybody else thinks. We won't be worried about how things are going to be met and things are going to be taken care of, because God will take care of all those things. True peace comes when we learn the message of praise, which is right here. The angels got it and they understood. It was a message of praise. And we could just stand back in awe, seeing what God had done for us. This is what Christmas is about. And this is the message that we have been given to deliver. God gave this message to these angels to deliver and preach this message to these shepherds. He has also given us the same message. Later on in the passage of Scripture, it talks about how the shepherds went out and they told everybody about the baby. They didn't talk about the angels. They didn't talk about the wondrous sight. You know what they did? They went out and told everything concerning the child. Look what it says in verse number 17. And when they had seen it, talking about the child, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. The shepherds didn't run out saying, we saw this angel, and then we saw the multitude of angels. You know, the greatest part of the message was, we saw the Savior. We saw the Messiah. We saw the child. And this is what's exciting. Don't get so wrapped up in all the other things that go along with Christmas that we miss the most important thing. The gift that was given to us. So many times people do such an extremely great job at wrapping the present that they forget the most important thing is what's inside. And so many times the wrappings of Christmas have become such a problem that we forgot to praise God for the gift that was given. We get all worked up in the cantatas and the decorations and all these other maybe even good things. Let us never lose focus that this is a message of praise. There is nothing wrong with having a day set aside to remember Christ's birth. There is nothing wrong with praising Him each and every day, because when we remember what He did, what He gave, it's inspiring, awe-inspiring, if we will just learn to focus on it. It's a message of praise. Second thing I want you to see is it's a message for all people. Look what it says in verses 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, this is great. He's there. He's talking to the shepherds. The angel says to him, look, this is a message for everyone. That means everyone in the world. It's included every single person to ever live. This message is for them. Look what it says in verse number 11. For unto you. See, at the beginning of verse number 10, it's explained to him that it is a message for the world. But in verse number 11, it says, for unto you, it's made personal. It's not just a message for everybody else but you. He says, it's for the whole world, but it's born unto you, is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. See, you think, who God would have delivered this message to? You think, well, he probably wanted to go give it to the mover and shakers of the day, the religious leaders of the day, or those that were in the temple that were the high up priest, or maybe the king, or maybe Caesar himself needed to see and hear this. No, who does the angel's message deliver to? It's delivered to the shepherds, the common people, the people like me and you, the hard workers of the day. These people in this day and time, in this vernacular, they actually were people who were despised many times by their friends. They were somebody that people did not want to spend much time with. These are people that weren't allowed to always come into the temple because of their uncleanness and things like that. But this is who the angels, this is who God chose to give this first message to. And I believe God chose to give this message to them is to tell the whole world, hey, look, it's not just about who you think is smart or who you think is great or who you think is intelligent or who you think is beautiful or who you think is worthy, because none of us are worthy. The message is given to them so it can teach and tell the whole world that God came to save the whole world. For God so loved the world. But many times when you're witnessing to somebody or trying to bring them to salvation, you say, you take that name, take the world out of there and put your name there. For God so loved Brian Pease that he gave his only begotten son. And it is a personal message. It is intended for the whole world. He came to live and to die for the sins of mankind. Think about what 1 John 2:2 says. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What the Bible is telling us, that he came and he died for the sins of the whole world. This word propitiation means the sins had been paid by the suffering of another. What the Bible is saying here is that when Jesus Christ came, he satisfied the sin penalty for all of mankind, for those that have went back all the way to Adam's sin, all the way till the end of time. That's what he paid for that day. And it is a message that we can give to anybody. We can give it to everybody, that Jesus Christ came and he was Christ the Lord, became a man to be our Savior. Whoever you meet, whoever you walk by, whoever you live next to, whoever you work with, doesn't matter what color they are, doesn't matter what country they're from, doesn't matter how much money they have in the bank or if they don't have a bank account. The Savior was born that day for them. This is the message that God wanted delivered to them that day. This was the message that he wanted to portray. This is what he wanted to say. I mean, there's churches all across the world today, Sunday morning, talking about this passage of Scripture. And this is what God wants mankind to know about his son's birth. He sends an angel because he knows the angel is going to get it right. He's going to say exactly what he once said. He's going to portray it exactly the way he wants it portrayed. He starts off with that great sermon illustration, that great beginning of the sermon. He gets their attention and he says to them, look, there is a child that's born. It's for the salvation of the whole world. And it's for you also. It's personal. This morning, have you ever entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? It must be received for you to be able to take part of it. And what do you mean? Well, there's gifts underneath my Christmas tree. All week long, last week, I kept on trying to get my wife to let me open up one of the gifts. She was giving me a hard time. She even told my parents about it last night so they could reprimand me. My wife even said to my mother last night, look, he's not too big to get a spanking. You know, she was encouraging that. Can you believe my wife would do that to me? Well, there's gifts underneath, and sometimes people give one another gifts But to be able to enjoy that gift or be able to partake of that gift, you have to open it up. You have to receive that gift. If there was a gift sitting out there, and sometimes that happened, sometimes on those ledges out there, there's presents or gifts. Sometimes people leave for one another. And if nobody goes and gets that gift, if they never receive it, they're never going to be able to partake of it. See, God gave His Son to us as a gift. The Bible calls it eternal life, the gift of eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of eternal life. It's gift. It's a gift that God wants to give us, an offering to us. Have you ever received that gift? Because if you never receive the gift, you never get to partake of the benefits. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, once again, He died for the world, but that whosoever, that's a personal thing, whatever individual believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is a message for all people. It's a message for all of us to understand that God came to save the world. But it is the message that's to you directly. Have you ever personally received that gift? The third thing I want you to see, and last thing, is it's a message with purpose. It's a message with purpose. Have you ever heard a preacher preach and it doesn't seem like there's any purpose to what he's saying? Don't say amen because you think that's what I do, okay? But sometimes you get sitting there and you're listening and you're listening and you're listening and saying, is he ever going to come to a certain point? You know, this message was not just for no reason. To be 100% honest with you, Jesus Christ did not come to this world to leave the glories of heaven where His will was done every moment of every day, to come to the world to get on, to have a body of a man, to be rejected, to be spit upon, to be smacked, to be hit, to have a crown of thorns. He didn't do all that so we could celebrate a day. He didn't do all that so we could have a couple of days off work, so we could pull trees from the forest and bring them into the house and decorate them and decorate the house. He did not do all that just so we could give presents to one another. That was not the purpose of His coming. And don't get me wrong, I don't have any problem with celebrating things. As I mentioned to you, I have gifts underneath that tree at my house because I understand the real reason for Christmas and I understand the principles behind that. I get all that. But here's the point is that the purpose of this message, the purpose of Him coming, was not for us to be able to celebrate with one another about a gift. You know why He came? He came to die for the world. This is His purpose. Now, I want you to think for a few minutes. And I think it'd be good to understand why did Jesus Christ come to this world? And if I began to speculate, you might say, well, that's His opinion. But I want you to think about a few verses here, and we're going to close with this, that Jesus Himself tells you why He came. He Himself, as it throughout His life, throughout His ministry, in more than one occasion, He says, I am come to do this. First thing I want you to think about, Jesus came to call sinners. He came to call sinners. In Luke chapter 5, verses 31 through 32, Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He was saying, you have to realize you have a need. I came to help those that understood that they had a need. He says, that is who I'm calling to repentance. He even said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. It's not about all the decorations and all the frills. Jesus Christ came to this world to die for us. He came to call sinners to repentance. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible tells us in John 3:17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. And some people say, hey, Jesus came and He condemned us. He judged us. No, we've already been judged. You have it all wrong. We're sinners. We're on our way to a horrible place called hell. We are already condemned. He did not come to this world to condemn us. We've already been judged. Our sin has caused us to be separated from God forever. But Jesus Christ came to this world, it says, so He could save the world from their sins. Some people say, well, He came so we could celebrate. He came so... No. He came to call lost people to become sinners. Sinners to repentance. He came. And don't get me wrong. He didn't die just for some. The Bible says He's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But this message is all about that Jesus Christ came. Why did He come? He came to seek and to save sinners. He came to call the sinners to repentance. He didn't come to judge you. You've already been judged. You're already condemned. He came to save you. Not only did he do that, he also came to give his life. In the passage of scripture, he says, in Matthew 20, verse 28, it says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, we think about it, Jesus did not come for his own benefit. He did not have to come because he did something wrong. Christmas many times has become, I had one, a lady tell me on Thursday, she said, Christmas has come instead of giving presents out of want to is more of an obligation. You feel like you have to do things. It came not because something he had to do. It was an obligation. It wasn't because of something he was going to benefit from. He came to serve. Unlike so many earthly men who seek only the best for themselves, Jesus Christ came to this earth to serve others. He was constantly ministering and helping others, rescuing them in their times of needs. And the pinnacle of his serving was when he was willing to lay down his life by shedding his blood for the ransom of our sin. The God of the Bible sent his Son, not so that people would minister to him, but that he would minister to others. And Jesus is teaching his disciples here, this is the purpose of why I've come, and to teach you that it is our job now to minister to others. But you say, why did Jesus come? He came to call sinners to repentance. He came to seek and to save those sinners. He came to teach them and show them that they are sinners and they were lost so he could save them. But he came to minister to others. Not only did Jesus come, he came to bring light also. He said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. What the Bible is saying here is that Jesus says, look, this is Jesus talking, this isn't me. He said, I am come a light into the world. He came to shed light. He came to show a world that was full of darkness, a world that was going the wrong way, a world that did not understand that they were lost in sin. And he came to be a shining light. This is why he came. I don't want to try to down anybody's fun time or their party, and they are going to enjoy Christmas. And I think you can enjoy Christmas even at a greater rate if you understand that Jesus Christ came to this world. It wasn't so that we could celebrate other things, so we could celebrate him. It's a message of praise. It's a message for all the people, but it's a message with a purpose. Everything we do should have a purpose behind it. Everything we give, it should be a way of thanking and showing appreciation what someone's done for us or the relationship we have for them, but to help them understand that as a believer, we believe in God and we know what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to live. He came to die. And that way we can show others to Jesus Christ, because that's our purpose. When the angels came and delivered this message, it was a message of purpose. It was to tell the people that a Savior, for unto you is this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, that Christ the Lord became a child. It points to that. That was the purpose of the message, to show people that they were coming to save people from their sins. Also, Jesus came to give an abundant life. One of my favorite verses in all the Bibles is, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. He said, preacher, this type of message kind of messes with my celebration of Christmas, and you're kind of ruining it. Well, you got the wrong celebration of Christmas, but what Jesus is saying here is, hey, look, I came into this world not to take away your fun, not to destroy your life, not to give you some type of hardship, a hard time. He says, that's what the devil does. The Bible says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill. That's what the devil's plans for your life. It might look like it's more fun, look like it's more enjoyable, but he doesn't care anything about you. He wants to destroy you and destroy your life. But Jesus says, I am come. This is the reason why he came, that they might have life, talking about eternal life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That more abundantly part is the part that we miss so much. If we will live a life of peace, if we will live a life of joy, because there's messages of joy and peace in here also. If we will learn how to live that type of life, it will be the more abundant life. But most of us get wrapped up in material things. Most of us get wrapped up with the things of this world. Most of us get so worked up about everything that really truly doesn't matter that we miss the whole point and the whole purpose. This morning, I want to just try to impress you with Jesus Christ. I don't want you to worry about all the wrappings. I don't even want you to worry about the angels, appearance of them, and all the fanciness of that. The message was about with the purpose that God himself became a child in man form to live and to die and to rise again so we can be on our way to heaven. And it's a free gift. That should inspire us to want to worship him and thank him and praise him. And he's saying that this life that he's able to give to you is a life that is more abundant than any other life that you can know. And that's when Paul says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You know, it's this thought here. There is no real way to describe it. All you can do is sit back and meditate and ponder it. And as you do that, you have no other choice but to rejoice and to worship him and to praise him. This morning, are you on your way to heaven? God left his home in heaven to die for us so we could go to heaven when we died. But we must repent of our sins. Remember, Christ said it himself. He said he's calling sinners to repentance. He has to see that we're sinners and repent of those sins and cry out to God and ask God to save us from those sins and through his finished work on the cross. In just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. An invitation is a time where we have encouraged people to come forward. And if God spoke to their hearts and they pray and just deal with the Lord. And if you're not sure if you're going to die today, if you're not sure that if you die today that you would go to heaven, let me encourage you to come forward. We love to have somebody take a Bible and teach you really the true meaning of Christmas and what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross and how you can be saved and on your way to heaven according to what the Bible says. And if you are a believer here today, let's remember the purpose why he came. It was a message of praise. It was a message for all people. Don't think that, hey, this message isn't intended for my in-laws or isn't intended for my friends or my family or my enemy. It's intended for all people. But there was a purpose for his coming. Don't lose sight of that purpose. There was a reason why he came. He healed how many people? That's not why he came. He spoke how many lessons? That's not why he came. He came to be the Savior of the world. There's a quote out there. It says, if God had perceived that our greatest need was economic, he would have sent an economist. If he had perceived that the greatest need was an entertainer, he would have sent a comedian or an artist. If he had perceived our greatest need was political stability, he would have sent us a politician. If he had perceived that our greatest need was health, he would have sent us a doctor. But he perceived that our greatest need involved our sin and our alienation from him and our eternal separation from him. So he sent us a Savior. Boy, we have so much to be thankful for. I think it'd be a good time that we would just praise him and worship him, even during our invitation time, just thanking him for all he's done. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with